Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSCs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. WTIC 522-WTIC. If you're listening on the stream, three lines open. Call anywhere in the country. 800-966-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out. And we've got three lines open, so feel free to just jump right on. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Greg in Waterbury next. Hey, Greg.
Hi. How are you, fellas?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You've got a great show. You really do.
Thanks.
I enjoy it. I have a question regarding conversion from Windows 7 to Windows 10.
All right.
I have an old computer. It's about 7 years old.
Whoa.
With Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I wish I could buy a brand new computer, but I can't afford it.
Yep.
I'm also thinking about getting a refurbished computer from a Microsoft authorized refurbisher with i5 chip in it.
Yeah.
Would that be a good alternative until I can afford a new one?
Yeah, because I assume the refurbisher is going to give you Windows 10 as well.
Right.
So that's an alternative. Understanding your warranty from a refurbished machine is probably going to be 90 days.
Mm-hmm. If I get an extended warranty, I assume that would be a big help.
It might, depending on what they offer you.
Once you add that up, maybe
you're buying a new machine by that point.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, the machine that you think you can't afford is
in reach.
What you end up paying.
I mean, a good computer, you know, you can spend, let's say, $700, $800. If you're going to be close to $500 on the refurb with extended warranties,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if I would do that. Anything refurbished has been used for probably 4 or 5 years already. So you've got a 7-year-old machine. Now you're going to go buy a 4 or 5-year-old one that's been hammered by a business, most likely, for that many years. For the delta being so small, I wouldn't do that necessarily. It would have to be real cheap. It'd have to be like one of those, like a $250 computer with a 1-year warranty. And then now the operating system is $150 plus operating system cost anyway. So,
right.
You know, you're so tight. You're so close there as far as what you're going to get out of it. 2 years versus a new machine. I don't know, Greg.
Yeah. Which leads me to my next question. That is, since Microsoft Explorer, Microsoft won't be supporting any software updates.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, I have Webroot as my...
Yep. Antivirus.
Until I can afford to go to Windows 10, should I get another... antiviral malware bytes?
No, you shouldn't necessarily have to do that. So the whole thing is your biggest question is, hey, Eric, how long can I run this machine
Exactly.
Without updates. And believe it or not, you've got a lot of CPAs and financial planners and other folks and, you know, healthcare providers asking the same question.
Right.
So
they're not about going into Windows 10.
Yeah, and spending the money, and I don't blame them. But technically, they need to because they're mandated to do so. You are not. So the answer to the question is as long as you feel comfortable. So this, your Windows 7 is going to stop getting updates on January 14th for security. Now,
right.
XP was dead for about 5 years, and then the whole British health system was hit with WannaCry. Do you remember that?
No, I haven't heard of that.
All right, only geeks like us remember that stuff. So they were hit with a WannaCry, and Microsoft released an update to XP. Because those folks in the British healthcare system said, we can run the healthcare system on XP. If the Americans are running their nuclear subs on it, we can run our healthcare system on it. Why not? And then Microsoft releases a patch. Now, they never said they were never going to do that, right? They said, hey, we're not doing it. We need to force you to go to Windows 10. So my point is, you could find Microsoft still releases updates for some egregious hole that they really should, they go and look at each other and say, hey, guys, we really shouldn't have left that hole wide open. We should probably patch that. Could that occur? Yes. Will it occur? Who knows? And hopefully there isn't any big egregious hole. So you could go 6 months and not have an issue, a year, 4 years, right. Who knows, right? As long as you're not going to places on the internet that are, malicious, yeah. And the problem is, it's not just the sites that you might come to mind automatically. You could be tricked into going there through phishing schemes and stuff like that. So you're worried about some bad guy leveraging a hole that hasn't been patched yet by whoever's been writing Microsoft's operating system for X number of years. And that's what you're dealing with here. So you could run for, save your money up for X number of months afterwards. And before you know it, you're buying a brand new machine rather than some 5-year-old refurbished with an extended warranty.
One more question about that. Should I be looking for i3 or i5 Intel processors?
I would stay away from the i3s. I mean, I think those aren't even nice. You shouldn't even give those to high school kids to do their homework on.
Okay.
I think an i5 or better. Is what you're going to go for.
Okay.
8 gigs of RAM minimum. A hybrid drive or a solid state drive, whenever, if you can afford that, now that you're going to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And make sure you're running OpenDNS.
Okay. That's another issue. I have to convince my wife to do that.
What? You got to tell her, say, honey, if we're not going to buy a new Windows 7 machine, I got to configure that. Why would she have any issues with that?
Well, that's a totally different issue.
Oh, does she think you're going to break the computer?
Yes.
That's like my wife telling me, you sure you want to hang that shelf, honey? Are you sure you want to do that? And frankly, I tell her, no, I don't want to do it. Because I know it's going to come crashing down at 3 a.m.
Okay.
So you should definitely do that, though, Greg.
Okay, so I should go to i5 with at least 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks, fellas. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, bye. That's funny. Won't let her husband mess configure OpenDNS. Hey, before we go to a break here, Bob, do you want to bring up any of those articles? What was the next one you wanted to bring up? We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're here till 11.
Yeah. Star Wars Instant Pots are here, and R2-D2 can now cook your dinner.
Love it.
Okay. Star Wars droids can fix vehicles, pilot ships, even save Jedi Masters and Rebels when they get in a tough bind.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, R2-D2 and BB-8 can now make you dinner. Instant Pot just released a Star Wars collection featuring R2-D2, BB-8, Darth Vader, and more.
Ah, Darth Vader, that actually would fit for me, considering how we cook.
Okay. Well, and then they got a Chewbacca one that's... 8 quarts, okay? But the BB-8 one is 3 quarts, but the rest of them are 6 quarts.
Nice.
Okay?
And you love your Instant Pot,
We
right?
have an Instant Pot. Actually, we gave them out as gifts to all our kids, and they love them as well.
Wow.
And you can use them to cook rice. You can use them as a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
You can use them to cook soups and all sorts of other stuff. They
green
can
eggs
steam
and ham?
Vegetables. I don't like green eggs and ham.
Right. Sounds like a cool thing, though.
But, it is. It's very nice. And
if you're a Star Wars fan, you can have Darth Vader cook up your stuff.
Well, just having R2-D2 in the kitchen doing the cooking. Not bad.
Not bad. We'll step out for a quick break, guys. We'll put all the links up for you. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I know you're out there shopping, looking for those deals. And you're going to do it all before tomorrow. You got to get your eggs and your milk and your bread.
Stock up now for the, before the rush for the coming snowstorm.
Yep.
You might get snowed in for a week.
Or a few
hours. Laugh. I had that happen.
Well, it doesn't happen here in Connecticut.
Well, yes, it did.
It did?
Yeah. When? Way back when the Civic Center collapsed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was at 79.
You were stuck for a week?
No, in 79 I wasn't, but in 78 I was. It was a year before. We got like 80 inches of snow in 2 days out in Indiana.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was up to the roof of my truck.
How many inches? 80?
60 inches.
60. That's still a lot of snow. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's
all right. Well, we don't get that here in Connecticut. You know. Let's go on to Paul and Danbury. What's going on, Paul?
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
All right. I have to say that I, first off, I like to thank the guy, helping the guy out just previous, because I'm looking for a new computer, and you basically helped me decide what I'm going to get.
Oh, good.
The problem I'm looking for is I have a Windows 7 desktop and a Windows 10 laptop. I want to basically get something new, but.
Yeah.
My thing is, what I have like tax stuff on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
What type of stuff that could I get that would basically erase all that stuff and still keep the basic system on? Because I don't want somebody else getting all my information.
And you say the basic system, though, you want to be able to give it to somebody operational. So you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Yes. I mean, like, is there a piece of software I throw it in? And it takes all my, if I just, like, delete my stuff, put it in the recycle bin, and then delete everything, would that be fine? Or
no.
Is something?
All you got to do is what Mrs. Clinton used. I think she used something called Bleach Bit or something like that. You can get what are called shredder programs. And the shredder program will actually write zeros and ones, quote-unquote randomly. Of course, nothing's random with computers. Over top of... It's kind of.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite hear that again. I'm sorry. What's the besides bleep
bit? Bleach bit is what she used. Right. There's like shredder programs out there. We can find some to link for you that would be reputable.
That really wouldn't allow you to restore it without the original restoration disk or restoration partition.
Right. Yeah. You're going to get this drive will be useless after you're done with this. You could format it after that further.
And then reuse it.
And then reuse it. So you're going to delete it. Then you're going to shred it. With this shredding program, then you're going to format it, and then you're going to give it to somebody.
Are you going to give it to somebody you trust, or are you going to give it to a stranger?
Well, one of the things I might be doing is...
Or a special prosecutor. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I was someone told me that, like, you know, donating it to an organization that might need some computers to help teach people or something.
Yeah, we participate with that with Manchester Community College. We do a lot of that.
Right. And my thing is just that, you know, I don't want my income tax anything being, I also have my, I do on bill paying, and I don't want that being,
right.
You know, given away. You know?
Right. So there's two things. So we'll, you know, deleting, like you said, mm-hmm. is fine. Then you got to find a good shredder program, and we're going to do some quick research on that and find some good shredder program that you'll run on the hard drive. Then you're going to do something called, after you've shredded it, you're going to format it.
Okay.
And that should pretty much do it, making it pretty much completely clear. And then, of course, you can reload the operating system if you want, or just give it as a blank system and let the recipient use it.
Right.
We'll find some good ones that are out there, but Bleach Bit is out there. That's what she used. I don't know how cheap it is. If you don't want to use a shredding program, if you just delete and then format, the drive, that generally, I mean, you need to be like the NSA or FBI.
There are programs out there that will do government standard wiping.
Right.
And it'll actually write zeros and ones to the drive.
Right.
All of it, like eight times.
Right. That's the Shredder software I'm talking about.
And you can get that for free out on the internet.
Yeah, we'll find a good link for you there.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, because I was looking at some things out there. And, you know, it's like, this one has this one has that. And I'm like, you know what? You guys helped me out in the past with stuff.
Yeah.
And like I said, even earlier listening to you, with, you know, basically looking at what the type of computer I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, you guys will probably know a lot better than I do.
Well, I appreciate that. CC Cleaner might have it, too.
I've got one.
Oh, you got one, Bob?
Yeah, it's Kill Disk.
Yeah, name says it all. As long as it's not a Chinese software and it's not sending your data to the Chinese first. There's another one out here, too. We'll put a link up here from ZDNet Mike found, and that will also help you get some more information. But, yeah, you're thinking the right things here before you give your computer away. Definitely want to format it and shred it and all that fun stuff.
This Kill Disk does it to U.S. Department of Defense 5220.22-M.
Standards.
Cleaning and sanitizing matrix.
All right. So we've got some stuff here for you, Paul.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great question.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Because people, you guys don't realize it. If you're just donating your computer and you've not deleted it and formatted it and shredded it, it's some pretty easy ways to, quote-unquote, undelete
your
stuff.
Even if you format it, it can be unformatted.
Yeah, there's ways. So you have to have somebody who's really looking to get access to your data. So shredding it should take care of that. Keep going, right, Matt? Yeah. Where is he? I can't see him. We're going to go to Barbara in Southbury next. Hey, Barb.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you too.
I'm calling because we just purchased a combination modem and router to upgrade systems here.
All right.
And looking over all the instructions and problem solving before we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. That's a good start.
They mention that if you have a problem with getting, I guess, sufficient bandwidth, it says... you may need an upgraded cable that'll handle 1,000
megabits.
BT.
Yeah, megabits, MBT. Yeah. So a cable...
No, not MBT, just BT is all they say.
BTs, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that abbreviation.
Bits.
Megabits, I would understand. Anyway,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, what's your bandwidth? Rate. What's your bandwidth now? What are you paying for internet?
100 megabits.
You have 100 megabits? Okay.
Yeah.
So as long as you're running Cat 5 cable minimally in your home,
mm-hmm.
that's going to give you the same speed as the internet service. So you don't need to increase any other wiring in your home to go faster because your internet's only 100 megabits, which is plenty. I assume it's just a couple of you in the home?
Yeah, but as we were thinking about this, we have a lot of wireless use of it besides that.
That's fine.
And the cable there is the cable that was installed.
Yep.
Many, many, many years ago.
That's okay. I bet you it's still 100 megabits. So you're still getting 100 megabit speeds.
Okay.
If you do a speed test, if you're paying for 100, you should be getting 100.
We did, but at that point, of course, we weren't running all the other wireless stuff.
Yeah, I hear you.
And we're thinking of putting up a wireless mesh setup.
Nice.
But that's not going to work if it can't send the speed to those other locations.
Well... Again, if it's 100 megabits, if you're all intents and purposes, everything else being equal,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to rewire to get your mesh network running. And again, I don't care. I mean, maybe if you got a party of 100 people in there, you're going to see a bandwidth degradation. But each access point
You guys can be number 99 and number 100.
Thanks. each access point is going to have a subscription level, right? It can handle X number of devices attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the mesh network itself can. So access points can become oversubscribed or oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
They're slicing the bandwidth as you connect to it with your device.
Right.
But again, to stream music or to stream video, you only need a chunk of that bandwidth. So I think you're going to be in great shape. I don't think you should need to rewire until you connect it up and see how it goes.
Okay.
And then if everything goes fine, which I suspect it will, you're set. If it does need to be upgraded, fine. Run some Cat 6 cable. Cat 6 cable is 1,000 megabit rated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you'd have to do if, for some reason, you're seeing a performance issue.
Okay. Well, now parallel question.
All right, hang on, because we have a hard break coming up. Okay. Can you ask that question after the break?
Yep, sure.
All right. We're going to keep Barb on hold here. Jason and John, hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. Everything we've talked about is posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Of course, you can get us on the stream over at Radio.com. Just listen to us live that way. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Barbara in Southbury again. Hey, Barb.
Table question.
Yeah.
When we travel, in hotels that we go to, generally we're using the Wi-Fi system with our various security stuff on it.
Yeah.
But a lot of them still have the Ethernet cable connection. I used to carry the Ethernet cable with me wherever we went.
Yeah.
And I'd have to actually look into it at the individual hotels as to whether they had an extra charge for using that or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, would you get better speed and better anything else using their Ethernet cable connection?
Yeah, maybe, because you're not sharing an access point. Like I talked to you earlier about that oversubscription that can happen.
Yeah.
So if you're in a hotel room and you're all sharing the same access point in the same vicinity, you can see that access point would start sweating, kind of working real hard to serve it all up. And if you connect directly, that won't occur. You've got your own high-speed connection back to the switch, which is then back to the internet connection. So you can get better performance.
Are these connections pretty much all that super strong? Because sometimes these are new hotels that have wired them up for business, and sometimes they're 1900s early hotels that have added that later on at some point, and it may have been before they had Wi-Fi, so it may be a really old connection. Would those be equally good Ethernet connections?
Well, you'll see. When you connect, if your network card shows 100 megabits, you're running with old Cat 5.
Yeah.
If it shows as 1,000 megabits, it means you're running at Cat 6, the later, newer technology.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll show you right when you check your network interface.
Super.
All right, Barb.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's move on to New Britain and Jason. What's going on, Jason?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Concerning the end of Windows support, or the end of Microsoft support for Windows in January for Windows 7.
Yeah.
If I install Webroot on my Windows 7 machine, will that protect me from the possible attacks through loopholes in Windows, or no?
Maybe. It's only maybe. Only because, so here's the thing, right? So what you're protecting against is different. Microsoft has a problem, right? Their operating system has problems, like any other operating system. And when those problems are discovered, the folks at Microsoft go out and patch the holes, right? When those holes stop happening, Webroot can protect you against viruses, but they may not protect you against you being tricked into letting the bad guy through the hole.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Right.
So phishing schemes where people say, hey, you've got an invoice for this, and you're like, hey, I didn't buy anything, click. Now you've let them in, right? If the bad guys are going to leverage an unpatched problem with Microsoft, they're going to then try to trick you into accessing it, and no virus program on the planet can help you.
I see.
So that's really where all this stuff is happening. You see all these school systems. You see all these government agencies. You see the cloud provider I talked about earlier today getting hit with ransomware. It's all mostly it's due to being tricked into letting the bad guys in, or poor security on the front end in the first place, letting the bad guys in to go ahead and manipulate the systems. So antivirus is not going to stop you from that.
Right. So. Okay. But having the open DNS will help
a little bit.
Will help protect that.
Yep. Now you're on a safer internet. You're going to not go down some dark alleyway of the internet as easily. That's going to help too. Those two things are minimum. That's what you should have running on all systems these days: is some sort of internet filter and some good antivirus program. Those are the first two steps. The third step is to be very vigilant. Don't let them trick you.
Right. Very good.
All right, Jason.
You guys are great.
Thanks.
Love the show. Thank you.
You guys are great, too. Thanks for calling. All
right. You're welcome.
Bye. a lot of these emails that are coming in these days, you know, you look at, you know, click here for this, click here for that. It's conditioning us to fall for these tricks. And the problem is you don't know if it's legit or not. But anything coming in through email, you shouldn't click on. I don't care if it's the best deal on the planet, you know, free cruise here or whatever you're going to do here. Click here to get this. They shouldn't be conditioning you to click when it comes to that kind of stuff, especially unsolicited. So be very vigilant. Let's go to John in New Britain. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Got a new computer, and I'm running across trying to install probably both Chrome and Firefox. And, of course, Microsoft only wants you to use their Edge product.
Yeah.
And you get this S mode. Familiar with that? Where you got to switch out of the S mode to be able to install.
S mode. What flavor of Windows 10 did you buy?
Whatever came with this unit here. I guess that's the latest and greatest. The S mode is supposed to be designed for security, speed, and whatnot, and you have to switch out of S mode, and if you do that, then, of course, you can't switch back. And
Safe mode, I think he's talking about.
Yeah, well, no.
No, so, it's not. Well, I guess it's sort of like safe mode, but it's...
You're running Windows 10S.
Yeah, new machine, and, you know, obviously, you know, like I said, rather than using Edge, I prefer either Chrome or Firefox, and I get this when I go to install it. You have to, you know, get out of S mode. And
so it looks like here from what I'm reading, Windows 10S, as in Sam, does not allow installing third-party applications.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. So you actually have an operating system that's secure. I got a feeling it's intended for other uses than home use. The question is, can you override or can you update? Have you updated that Windows 10 version lately? Is it?
Well, I just had the machine literally 2 or 3 days ago, so I can't update anything yet. But
yeah,
it didn't automatically say to me that okay, it needs to update.
So yeah, they realize it's not such a great idea, and they're providing a way to swap over to another version of Windows for free. So you want to get out of that version that you purchased, however you got it. You want to go to the Microsoft Store, I think, and see if you can. You want to go to Update and Security Activation, and then click Go to Store, and it'll take you to a switch to Windows 10 Pro. So you've got some sort of enterprise-ish flavor of Windows 10 designed to kind of lock it down, which as an end user is not a good idea.
Yeah.
And you need to get out of that version and upgrade it to maybe Pro, I think you have to. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm on the Microsoft site. It says, Microsoft Verified Security. With Windows 10 in S mode, your favorite applications such as Office, Evernote, and Spotify are available from the Microsoft Store, where they're Microsoft Verified for Security. Mm-hmm. You can also feel secure when you're online. Microsoft Edge, your default browser, gives you more protection against phishing and socially engineered malware than Chrome or Firefox.
So the key is how to turn off S mode so that he can go ahead and download what he wants.
Right.
So hang on. Go to settings, select update security, left click activation. Yeah, we've got some answers for you. You got to take it out of S mode.
Okay.
So here's the thing, right? So Microsoft, from that, what Bob just said is they're saying, look, you know what? If you want to buy any app, you can only buy our stuff, and you can't use Chrome and Firefox because clearly there are other third parties involved, and we can't let you use their browsers. And you've chosen S mode, so we want to save you, John.
So I think they're following the Apple model.
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
Certainly seems like Apple.
Yeah. So we got to tell you how to turn off the S mode in Windows 10, which, frankly, I've never bumped into. But it's definitely on your security update security activation settings. We have links up here for you that will give you some answers as to how to turn that off. Once you turn it off, then you can go ahead and load other applications that you know are safe, right? Because Chrome is safe. Firefox is safe.
Right.
And so you'll be able to save your, you know, you can get out of that mode. But if you want to run in that mode going forward, you know, let's say you had a kid that you couldn't trust, you know, 15, 16.
Right.
You know, you might want to put it in safe, that S mode for them. That way they're not going to download something that is malicious.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put some links up here for you as far as how to turn it off. Straightforward.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, John.
Check it out. Thank you.
Yep, good luck.
Thanks.
S-mode. Never come across it. You got the answer there, Bob, for him? Yeah. So it's easy to do. It's pretty straightforward. Comes by default. Microsoft will save you from them.
Learn how to upgrade from Windows 10 Home to Windows 10 Pro. That's easy.
Yeah, they'll do it too. Anything you want to bring up? We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. Bob wants to bring up an article.
We lost our callers.
Yeah, it's okay.
Saturday, we'll have to start talking about our kids.
No, let's not do it.
Come on, get in there.
They're getting out. They're getting their bread and milk before the storm.
Have you ever lost your wallet?
Never.
Have you ever had it stolen?
Never.
Okay. Well, for those of you that are somewhat absent-minded, I've had mine stolen once.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay, this wallet includes a tracker that let you find it with your phone. Okay.
Nice.
The Esker Parliament wallet syncs with your phone, so you never lose it.
Huh.
The tracker is a thin credit card-sized device that can be charged in light. It works on
solar
power. Yeah, for 3 hours, which will last for 2 months. The company says.
But then, of course, if you forget to do that after 2 months, it's a useless. Just a regular wallet.
In order to track your wallet, you have to install the free Chipolo app, which is available for iOS and Android. The tracking range is about 200 feet, 60 meters, using Bluetooth Low Energy 4.0.
Nice.
After installing the app, you can make the wallet ring by tapping the locate button from within the application. Other features include seeing where your wallet is on a map, and in a neat switcheroo, it even lets you locate your phone by pressing a button on the tracker. So to me, that would be more
Help you useful. Find your phone?
Yeah, because how many times have you put your phone down and forgot where you put it?
Never.
Oh, come on.
Never.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
I know, but it's
true. I do it all the time, and so does everybody else I know.
I have certain things that I do the same way in a obsessive compulsive way, so I always know where my keys are, my wallet is, and my phone is, because I always put them in the same place.
So,
period.
You would be like the cowboy that even goes to bed with his hat on.
Kind of, but I know where that stuff is. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll put a link up to that. Gary, Al, Jim, you guys all here. There's five lines that are all ringing. We'll try to do our best to get to your calls. We'll be right back after this break. And we are back. And Dr. Alessi's in the green room. He's going to give you a second opinion on your health advice. Getting ready for that. So stick around till 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Gary in Bloomfield. So, Gary, we talked to earlier in the day, and he's here to complain.
Yep. A couple quick ones, I hope.
No complaining? That's good.
Suggestion was made that I might end up having to look at Microsoft Office 2018.
2019, if you have to reload, yep.
Okay. Will that load on a 8.1 machine?
Yeah.
It will?
Yeah.
Okay. If I do have the disks, and I want to reload them on the machine.
Yeah.
Will it automatically overwrite what's there, or do I have to uninstall what's already on the machine?
It should overwrite, but I think Bob's going to tell you.
It's going to put it in a different folder.
It is? It's not going to put it in the same one?
So Microsoft numbers their folders under Program Files, Microsoft Office, so that it might be, if you put in several versions over time, you might see an Office 14, Office 15, Office 16.
But if he reloads the 13 he has now, it's going to overwrite that version of 13.
It's going to overwrite the version, but it's not going to overwrite any of the files you produced.
Right. So the answer is yes, it'll overwrite, but at the 19
the
version,
files.
Only the program files.
Okay, well, I've got a full backup of everything on the machine, so I'm okay there. I did go back into Programs and Features, clicked the Microsoft Office, clicked on Change, blue box came up around the change, sat there for 5-7 minutes, and then the blue box disappeared, but nothing else happened.
Oh, so no repair option.
Well, nothing came up.
Yeah.
Now, when I went, I shut down, rebooted again, and I went into the Adobe Acrobat Reader just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And when I click on that and click change, a box comes up within seconds that says installing, and then gives you an option to cancel if you want some. Assuming that the installing is just simply bringing up repair or recovery.
Right.
Okay. Could repair be under a different option on the control panel?
I don't know, but we did put a link up there for you as far as something to try outside of that.
Okay.
But it should be right there in that control panel line.
Okay. And I did try a couple times about holding the control key down and double-clicking on Word and Excel, and nothing happens.
In safe mode.
You know, nothing happens. I just get the rotating blue circle, and nothing else happens.
Yeah, you got to reload, I think, Gary. I think you've tried everything. You can try the link we put up there as far as the repair goes to see if there's a manual repair you can kick off, but I got a feeling you're going to reinstall.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot, guys, for your help.
You got it, Gary.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, going to Rick in Bristol next. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Since it's the Thanksgiving season, I'd like to thank you and Bob for donating your Saturdays for the public here.
Our pleasure.
And also you and a couple other members of your family for performing with the Bristol Brass and Wind Ensemble.
Yes, that's
very
our pleasure,
much
too.
Appreciated.
It's our pleasure, too. Keeps our noggins smart. Come on. We got to keep those noggins moving there. Play some music.
I have a problem with Outlook.
Yeah.
I have Comcast, and for the past several months, my inbox in Outlook only goes back to the 23rd of the previous month.
You have a corrupt PST.
Corrupt PST.
Which is the mail file within Outlook.
because I contacted Comcast. They checked. They said there was no problem there, and I had the Geek Squad wander around the computer for 5 hours.
5 hours? They're not charging you by the hour, are you?
No, I had a service plan that expired last week, and I called them just before it expired. It seems like for whatever reason,
you've got a damaged PST file, and you have to repair it.
All right.
And so there's plenty of information we can put for links as to how to run the repair of your PST. It's called Scan PST that you're going to run and see if it finds errors. Most likely it will find the errors, and hopefully it'll fix it for you. So we put the link up. Bob's already on it as I was talking. He's already got the link ready to go.
Good.
So hopefully
I'm getting beeps in the phone, so I missed what I was supposed to do, but I will check out the link.
Yeah, you're going to repair it. And I'm surprised the Geeks, did they say they even tried to repair it?
No, it was mostly typing, and it wasn't like I was on there 5 hours constantly with them, but they did take up, they were roaming around, and they said it definitely was not an Outlook problem.
It's got to be an Outlook problem.
Well,
it's got to be. What's happening is it's stopping at a certain date, right? Why would, if you have mail beyond that date and it's not showing, it's because the database is corrupt. There is no other answer that I could even fathom logically.
Well, it shows the present mail. It says that we had mail that went back a couple years in the inbox.
And it's gone. It's not showing up, right?
Right, yeah. So that's still a PST.
A corrupt PST. Yeah.
Well, you may have archived your older mail.
You would know that.
I've never set up an archive file. There is one, but it's got like 5 or 6 pieces of mail in it.
Right. If it's got 256, I think, kilobytes in size, then there's nothing there. But typically it's set up by default.
Right.
And you may have run it inadvertently.
But anytime you come across a hole like this where it stops, it's the database. I think it's the database.
I tend to agree with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, those geeks don't know what they're talking about. Whoever they were.
I
bet you're going to find it. Because they hung up, right? And they said, sorry, there's no problem, right?
Well, after three hours, they tried that. And then I said, well, I'm going to open up my mail program and see if it's fixed.
Right.
And he said, oh, wait a minute, let me check something else.
Yeah.
And then it was another 2 hours.
Unbelievable.
And still wasn't.
No, they have to run a scan to fix the actual PST. Otherwise, they're going to spend the same thing. It's a definition of insanity, right?
Yeah.
So good luck, Rick.
We do have Thunderbird on the machine also.
Yeah.
So I know the emails are there somewhere because they're on Thunderbird.
Well, they're brought down as a different, a pop. Yeah, but you've got it into your Outlook, which is PST. So go ahead and repair that PST, kid.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it, Rick.
All right. Have a good holiday.
Yep, you too. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Dr. Alessi's up next. He's in the green room. He's going to give you a second opinion on your health advice. I want to thank Matt for producing and all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Without you guys, obviously, Bob would just be, and I would be talking about our kids, which is just generally not good radio.
See you next week.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.